Before we get into our study tonight, I need to go back and add a little additional information from this morning. There were two words that I paid little attention to this morning because I didn't really need to pay a whole lot of attention to them, but they're crucial to our study tonight. So let me go back and put up our text from this morning. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, and the first word is service. I emphasized the word reasonable this morning, the logical response to the mercies of God, but I didn't emphasize the word service. It is the word which literally we get our English word liturgy from. It is a service of worship. And life, serving God, is an act of worship. We tend to think, well, singing and praying and testimonies and preaching and that type of stuff, that's our worship. Well, a life of service is a life of worship. And really, the rest of the book of Romans, from verse 1 in chapter 12 here, all the way through chapter 16, is going to deal with our service as Christians. So he's introducing the rest of the subject. But then verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your, and I emphasize the word renewing this morning, but the word tonight that I need to use to prep our thoughts here tonight is the word mind. How do we think? And I used my words carefully tonight. Not what do we think, but how do we think? There are a lot of places today that are telling you what to think. A lot of places are telling you today, don't bother thinking. Just repeat what I say. But very few places are telling you how to think. Our subject tonight deals with how we are to think concerning our service for God. And now that I have that set up, I want to share with you seven different ways of thinking tonight, or aspects of our thinking, and the things that should go through our mind concerning our service for God. The first one is found here. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Here's a news flash. The word soberly means soberly. Deep study here on this one. But if you put it in its opposite, the opposite of being sober would be to think without restraints. A person who is drunk has thrown off all the restraints, the inhibitions, if you will, the controls of what is right and what is wrong. What the apostle is saying here is, I want you to think in a manner that is within logical or real or biblical constraints. It is set in opposition to thinking more highly of oneself. Tendency, when we let our minds go and we don't rein them in by biblical constraints, is we tend to think of ourselves more highly than we really should. We tend to minimize the deficiencies that we find in ourselves, and we tend to maximize the good things. And we start, if we really let the restraints off of our thinking, we can really go to extremes. My, must God be pleased by having me on His side? Isn't the church blessed because of me? Now, of course, we're not going to say those types of things, but we start thinking along those lines. And Paul is saying, I want you to think concerning your service that everything doesn't revolve around you. Don't think more highly of yourself. Now, on the other hand, he doesn't say it here, but we don't want to think less of ourselves than is what is right. While there is nothing in us that is necessarily of value to God, there is something of value, and that's God in us. And therefore, what He is doing in us makes us valuable to Him. I used to collect football cards. Haven't done that in a while. I was concentrating on one team's players. And when you collect football cards, if you want to collect those of value, you get rookie cards. The rookie cards are the year that they have any value. Once they're in their second year and after that, cards are not as valuable. But their rookie season is when they really have value. And if you want a valuable card, you want a quarterback. After that, maybe a running back. After that, maybe a wide receiver. The rest of the players, they are a dime a dozen. But if you get a card of a quarterback in his rookie season and he signs it, the value goes way up. The card itself still has the same value, but because it's signed, it increases immeasurably. Well, you and I, even in our rookie seasons, don't have a whole lot of value except for the signature of the one who saved us that's imprinted in our lives. That's what makes us valuable. And don't underestimate that. I want you to think soberly, not too high, but according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. In your service for Him, there is an equal opportunity for each and every one of us to serve God. Notice it says that according as God has dealt to every man not a measure of faith, but the measure of faith. In other words, what He's saying here is within the workings of God, each of us has a measure of the faith that is proportionate to the way God wants us to serve Him. Everyone has opportunity. You don't say to yourself, well, I have these many gifts, and therefore I'm more valuable to God because of all this and that, or less valuable to God. God has a specific function for each and every one of us. And each function is just as valuable as somebody else's function in the body of Christ. He goes on to say in verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, a different function does not indicate superiority or inferiority." Oh, I just have helps. What's that? I wish I had teaching. Oh, if I had teaching, I could really do something. Helps are just as valuable as the person who teaches. They are all the functions of God. And no matter what gift you have or gifts that you have, it's not the number of them that count. It's not the type of them that count. It's the fact that you use them for the service of God that makes them valuable. Verse 5, "So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. The function of one member of the body affects the functioning of the others." In order to make just this ministry work, a lot of people have done a lot of different things. Some of them are seen, some of them are not. I'm going to brag on one person tonight. He doesn't know who he is. I just decided to do this now. I was thinking about how I was going to do this. But just this week, one person participated in a ministry that probably nobody else here tonight knows of, except maybe one or two other people, that brought revenue in excess of $100 into the ministry of the church. That's pretty good. You know? You got the $100. Who was it? The guy sitting behind you. You know what great thing he did this week? Mike, what great thing did you do this week that brought in $100 revenue? He took the aluminum cans to the recycling center. Hey, that money is going to go to the building fund, which will hopefully lead to the salvation of some soul one of these days, or the edification of a saint. Oh, and well, that's fantastic. You did it all by yourself. You brought all those cans in and you loaded them all up yourself and put them in your truck and carried them off. No? Were other people involved? You mean you didn't bring all those cans in all by yourself? Someone brought in cans over a course of time. And you said to yourself, oh, what's a can? It's a ministry that enabled Mike to do a ministry that will enable somebody else to do a ministry. Every service is connected and we all work together. And when one person, if someone didn't bring in cans, Mike wouldn't have been able to go. And if Mike wouldn't have been able to go, the money wouldn't have been able to be brought in. And if money wouldn't be able to brought in, the building wouldn't be able to be built. And the person that we might reach through that building might go through life lost. Think of that. Every little ministry is related to every other ministry in the plan of God. Don't think more highly. Think soberly of those things. Secondly, think appropriately. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that is teaching on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. A number of spiritual gifts are listed up there, and we briefly dealt with them in our Sunday school class this morning and last Sunday morning. And the one statement that I want to repeat is this. Every spiritual gift ultimately is given for the purpose of serving the body of Christ. Some gifts may minister to the lost, but ultimately it's to the evangelization of the lost that they become part of the body of Christ. So every spiritual gift has a ministry to the body. And we are to think appropriately about those things. Number one, use the gifts for the purposes that they were ordained by God for. If you're giving, well, this wouldn't be one today, the gift of prophecy, which was receiving revelation from God and transmitting it, revelation is done, so that gift can't be given. But if you had that, what he's saying here is don't go beyond what the prophet was to do. The prophet was not to make commentaries. The prophet was to faithfully proclaim what God had told him and revealed to him that was not revealed before. If you have the gift of ministry, then minister. If you have the gift of teaching, teach. Do what the gifts were ordained to do. That's what God called you for in giving you those gifts. Secondly, use your gifts at the time ordained by God. Don't force the issue. In verse 7, he says, wait on ministry. I've told you this before. Not too long ago, but some time ago, I was moved by the Spirit of God. I really believe that I was. That I wanted to communicate to my wife how much I loved her, not just by saying the words, but by doing things. And I decided that one way that I could show her that I really loved her was to make the bed every morning. That's my job anymore. Before she is even done with breakfast, the bed is made so that when she comes back to get dressed, it's done. And I told her, I said, that's one way that I can say I love you. Now, it is not good for me to say I love you when she is still in the bed. Or ministry, let us wait till the time of ministry is the right time. Wait till they get out of bed. That's what he's saying here. Don't force yourself. God not only has a plan of what he wants you to do, but when he wants you to do it. He that teaches, wait till there's an opportunity to teach. If people don't want to learn, you're wasting your time in teaching. Or exhortation. Exhortation can be two different ways. Encouragement. Hey, keep up the good work. Or, hey, do some work. the word can be used either way. Wait till the appropriate time. That's what he's doing here. Then thirdly, use your gifts in a manner ordained by God. The middle of verse 8, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Single-mindedness is the idea there. Or he that ruleth, do it with diligence. Don't be slack about it. Or he that shows mercy. Oh boy, I got to show mercy on this guy. I'd really like to give him a piece of my mind that I can't lose. Do it with cheerfulness. Do it in a manner that is prescribed by God. Think appropriately about your service. Verse 9, think lovingly. Let love be without dissimulation. The word dissimulation is literally the word hypocrisy. So, love without hypocrisy. I go up to my wife and I say, "Oh, darling." I never called her darling. I can't ever remember calling you darling. So you know I'm making something up here. "Oh, darling, you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. I worship the ground you walk on. I live every moment of every day just to be in your presence. And I do all these flowery things," and then I say, "Now make me suffer." The idea here is love is supposed to be a giving attribute or activity. God so loved the world that He gave. And that type of loving is in order to get. That's hypocrisy. Let your love be without dissimulation. Also, with the right standards. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. The necessity or genuineness of love is measured by the hate of the opposite. If you say, "I love God," and at the same time say, "I love evil," your love for God isn't very great. If you say, "I love God," then you must say, "I hate evil." You must abhor that which is evil and consequently cleave to that which is good. It should be according to the right standards and with the right motives. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. I don't care what this may cost me. The one that I love or the thing that I love, in this case, my love for God in serving Him, is without restraint. With the right motives. Not for what I can get out of it, but what I can do for Him. What I can do for the person I'm ministering to. Thirdly, fourthly, think energetically. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Do you know why? There's no guarantee of tomorrow. Opportunities exist when opportunities exist. That's deep, isn't it? But it's true. The opportunity to minister is now. It might be tomorrow, but there's no guarantee of tomorrow. Time is fleeting. It's here. It's now. And although the context is different, what did the Lord say to Judas in the upper room? "What thou doest, do quickly." Let's get this over with. Time is coming to an end. Do you know what? That trumpet could sound before we go home tonight. And the opportunity for ministry for our Lord will be over. Take the opportunities and redeem today, for the days are evil. When tomorrow is here, there won't be any chance to accomplish what should have been done today. Think energetically. Oh, but I'm so tired. Oh, I don't know if I can do this. Remember, and I'm not saying you should disregard all physical things that are going on, but it's the Lord who's going to energize you to accomplish things. And if He wants you to do something now, He will give you the strength and ability to do it now. Think positively. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Positively. Rejoicing in hope. Hope is always something towards the future. But hope in Scripture is always a confident expectation that God will do what He says He's going to do. And consequently, as we move through time, we are getting closer and closer and closer to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's terrible, isn't it? You say with the Apostle John, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Well, God is working His plan. God gives grace. In the bad times that lie before us, and yeah, there will be bad times lying before us if time goes on, the grace of God will always be sufficient. And then continuing instant in prayer, because God always hears and God always answers according to a will that is perfect. Think positively. God is still on the throne. Think altruistically. Others oriented, distributing to the necessity of the saint, given to hospitality, concerning benevolence. Well, that's my money. I don't know where the phrase came from. Does anyone here use the term pin money? Have you ever heard of the term pin money? Kathy, do you know how the phrase got? Okay. When people use it, they're talking about money that they put aside for frivolities. For whatever they want to spend it on, with no particular purpose, just to satisfy any whim or desire. That's what I understand pin money to be. In the plan of God, there is no such thing. Do you know why? The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Everything that is in this world belongs to Him, and we are accountable for how we use it. Now, it may be that God would say, "I want you to have something." Where's Roy? Roy's not here tonight. How can I pick on Roy when he's not here tonight? I don't know why God gave Roy a fishing boat. He can't use it. It's just a boat, right? Roy, I hope you're listening to this on the internet. And that could be within the will of God. By no means am I trying to suggest in any way that anything that you have like that is wrong. No means whatsoever. But when we start to say, "Well, this is mine." No, it's God's. And the question is, how are we going to use it for Him? And if somewhere along the line God says, "I want you to take what you have and give it to somebody else," have you lost anything? No, it's still in the possession of God. Think benevolently, distributing to the necessity of the state, given to hospitality. Uh-oh. Putting the needs of others, especially in the area of those who were traveling, before the needs of ourselves. And you say, "Well, I'd love to do that, but I don't want to make anyone who comes through sleep on my sofa. That's all I have." Okay, I appreciate that. You sleep on the sofa and give them your bed. Never thought of that one. Given to hospitality. Strangers. People that I don't know. Concerning opposition. Bless them which persecute you. Now I want to retaliate. I don't want to get mad. I want to get even. What do you want to get even? Win them to your side. Do you know why? Then they won't be your enemy. And they'll stop persecuting you. They'll start blessing you. That's how you get even. Bless them that persecute. Bless and curse not. Concerning profit and loss, rejoice with them that rejoice. When Lynn became a grandmother, she was rejoicing. Still is. And I said, that's nothing, I got 10. You know what? I rejoiced with Lynn because I got news for you. Number 10 is just as exciting as number 1. And maybe you'll get there. And I'll rejoice in that. And you're saying, yeah, but just wait till you get great-grandchildren. Weep with them that weep. And struggles, losses, and trials, and tribulations come into your life. I'm just glad it didn't happen to me. Now weep with those who weep. Think altruistically. Think humbly. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. While reaching for lofty goals, don't be concerned with an elevated status. Casey Kasem used to have a radio program years ago, America's Top 40. He counted down the most popular songs in America. And he ended his show by saying, keep your feet on the ground, but reach for the stars. Well, I kind of like that. I don't know how spiritually adaptable it is, but I do think that God wants you to reach for greater and greater and greater things, but not for personal recognition. I'll give you a prayer request. I have been considering lately continuing my education, going on for the Master of Divinity degree, about probably 30 to 40 more hours of credit hours of instruction for an MDiv degree. I had thought about it, then kind of given up hope, and I read some articles from a respected person just the other week, and he said about the necessity of having that, and I said, yeah, but I'm 63 years old. What does a 63-year-old person want to do with continuing education? Well, I could say, I've got an MDiv degree. Or I could say, I could use that material and be of greater service to the body of Christ. That's my motivation. Reach for the stars, but don't be concerned with how many letters come after your name. Whether your name appears in the paper or you have 15 seconds of fame on TV or whatever the case may be, do it for the glory of God. And then while reaching for the lofty goals, reach down to pull up people with you. You know what the saying is? It's lonely at the top. Well, yeah, it is lonely at the top if you don't bring people along with you. But if you're reaching for the mountaintop experience and you're putting a hand down and say, you come along with me, it's not lonely. Reach for the stars. And reach for the person who's following behind you and pull them along with you. Think humbly. And if we think these ways, our service to God will be exactly what He wants it to be. Let's pray. Father, encourage us tonight with how to think that we might serve You to the best of our abilities by the grace of God, for the glory of God, and the benefit of the body of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.